Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso, the Network for Social Justice, recording at our Hideaway studio in East County. Recently, Pope Francis announced plans to establish a panel that will be studying the prospect of ordaining women as deacons, but so far he has stood by the church's position opposing women priests. But you may be surprised that there already are some women who have been ordained as priests and who are fighting for the rights of women to be priests in a reform movement called Roman Catholic Women Priests. I have two of them with me here today, Nancy Curran and Jane Villa from the Mary Magdalene Apostle Catholic Community right here in San Diego. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Now, I'm sure it surprises a lot of people to hear that there are some women that have been ordained. Can you tell us a little bit of the history of exactly how that came about? Jane, let's start with you.
In 2002, there were seven women who received some advice from an active cardinal in Europe that if they wanted to pursue women's ordination in the Catholic Church, they were going to have to do it themselves, follow the Episcopalian model, because it was not going to happen in the Vatican.
Yeah.
And so those seven women found two bishops who agreed to ordain them and ultimately went out on a ship on international waters on the Danube River and were ordained Catholic priests.
My goodness.
And that is the beginning of the movement.
And so how many people are in this movement today?
I think today there are between 150 and 200 in the movement. Mm-hmm. In the United States, we have over 100 priests.
Now, when and where were you ordained?
First, I was ordained in 2004 as a deacon on the Danube River, and then in 2006 as a priest on the Bodensee or Lake Constance.
Nancy, how about you?
I was ordained in 2009. My ordination was a little different from Jane's or from many other women and men who enter the Roman Catholic Women Priest organization. I was ordained by my community, and at my ordination, there happened also to be a bishop there.
Okay.
So, and the reason I was ordained by the community, our faith community, the Mary Magdalene Apostle Catholic Community, was that there was a tradition, I believe, that goes back to the 11th century, where communities called their own priests to ordination and to service. And so we were following in that older model, older tradition of ordination.
Very interesting. Now, how did the Catholic Church, the Vatican, officially respond to all of these women becoming ordained? What happened?
They excommunicated them.
Wow. When did that occur?
The first excommunications came on the Feast of Mary Magdalene about a month after the original Danube Seven were ordained.
And that was in?
2002.
2002. And then in 2009, I understand, there was a broader excommunication order given. Tell us about that.
So many women became ordained so quickly, and the movement started spreading throughout the world, that I think the Vatican was unable to keep up with the formal legal processes, which involved serving papers on individual women. So they issued a general order of excommunication for any woman who attempts ordination and any person who assists a woman, any Catholic who assists a woman in attempted ordination.
Wow, so they were really serious about stamping out this rebellion within the church. How did that make you feel when you were excommunicated? Were you expecting it, or did it come as a surprise?
It did not come as a surprise. I was expecting it, and at some level, it's a badge of honor. It's part of what we stand for, the mm-hmm. radical inclusivity of all people within the Catholic Church. But of course, the concrete realities are also painful.
Yeah, I'm sure that it must be. And is the same situation apply to you, Nancy?
Yes, it does. Although I did not get the formal papers, but yes, it applies to me too.
Okay. Tell us about the Mary Magdalene Apostle Catholic Community here in San Diego. I understand that this is one of the largest branches anywhere of this movement, this Roman Catholic Women Priests movement. Is that correct?
My understanding is that our community, the Mary Magdalene Apostle Catholic Community, is the largest Roman Catholic women priest-led faith community in the world.
How many people do you have in your congregation now?
On the rosters, if you will, there are about 150. And any given Sunday, we have between about 70 and 90.
That's a good size population. Who do you minister to? What kind of people come to your services, which, of course, are outside of the official framework of the Catholic Church? So who are you ministering to?
At the beginning of our community, when it started, Jane could speak better to that. But the people who first came from Catholic churches that were more progressive, but had recently taken a few steps to the right, which left this gap in San Diego for progressive Catholics. And so the people that come to Mary Magdalene tend to be people who are Vatican II Catholics, which means they were hoping to see many reforms in the church, not just the ordination of women, but also changes in the liturgy and changes in who gets to come to the table for Eucharist.
Very interesting. Does your congregation include other people who may not be included within the traditional Catholic hierarchy? For example, are you ministering to gay people, divorced Catholics, things like that?
Yes, from the start, our mission was to reach out to those who are marginalized by the traditional church. So somebody recently said to me, said to us, that the center of Catholicism needs to be in the margins. And that's exactly where we hope and we feel that we are. So yes, so those who are marginalized, that would include divorced Catholics, remarried Catholics, LGBTQ Catholics, women.
Women Catholics. Who use birth control, maybe. Yeah.
Yes, certainly the birth control issue or those who just, as Jane often says, those who can no longer worship with integrity in a canonical parish.
Mm-hmm. So where does your congregation meet?
We meet at a Lutheran church, Gethsemane Lutheran Church in Sara Mesa. We rent space from them. They are an ELCA Lutheran church.
And if people want to find out more information about you, where can they get that?
At our website at www.mmacc.org.
I'm looking at your qualifications, and it looks like you're certainly eminently qualified by many accounts. Nancy, I can see, the current pastor, besides your ordination and later excommunication, you hold a diploma in theology from Oxford University, one of the best in the world, and a Master of Divinity from San Francisco Theological Seminary of the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley. Jane, tell us a little bit about your background.
I started life as a professor of religious studies, and I went to a Catholic university, Marquette University, where I got my doctorate with a specialty in New Testament studies.
What compelled you to take these courageous stances?
Over the years, I felt increasingly marginalized as a woman in the church. I was just sort of becoming an adult at the time of Vatican II, so I had big hopes for where the church was going and for changes that would come, which would include married clergy, women clergy, more flexibility with respect to liturgy, more flexibility with respect to doctrine and dogma, more authenticity within the church about our history. And none of those things happened after about 1978, 1980. There was a decided turn back towards the pre-Vatican II church. Mm-hmm. So I felt increasingly marginalized, and at the same time, I was teaching New Testament studies and learning when I'm teaching, preparing to teach, that Jesus was radically inclusive in his lifestyle and mission.
Yes.
And that much of the doctrine and dogma embraced in the Catholic Church is historical but post-biblical.
Very interesting. And Nancy, what about you?
I think I have an experience like many people. I heard about a community that was going to be convened in San Diego, and I was living in San Diego at the time, by a woman, a Roman Catholic priest, and a woman who was a deacon and was going to be ordained a priest. And like many people, I said, that can't be, or how can that be? I have to check this out. So I heard when the first liturgy was going to be, November 27th, 2005, and I showed up. And from that first liturgy, I had always felt in the church, I always I was getting increasingly a little bit like Jane, increasingly disillusioned with the church. And I wondered how the church could move into greater inclusivity in language, in practice, in ministry. And I didn't know how we would get there from here. And I walked into this church and it was there.
Yeah.
It had created the church of tomorrow that I had always dreamed might be. So that was my conversion, if you will.
It makes me think a lot of the civil rights movement, where it really took some acts of civil disobedience. Rosa Parks, mm-hmm. another courageous woman, sitting down on that bus and just saying, I'm not going to get off for the white guys. And look what happened as a result. Her and, of course, millions of other people who came to join and march and just demand equality. Let's talk about the current Pope, Pope Francis, who's certainly been rattling a lot of cages. Are there some changes that he has made thus far that you believe are positive for the church?
I believe that he has made some changes in attitude and in a spirit of generosity, or as is he called for, a year of mercy. So I do believe he has made some shifts that are very welcome mm-hmm. by the majority of lay people, that sort of attitudinal shifts towards inclusivity. However, he hasn't made any substantive changes. I think this call for the Open Commission on the study of whether or not women can be deacons is one of the first concrete things in the direction of inclusivity that he's done. The other things that he's done is, I think, created a spirit of welcome, or trying to create a greater spirit of welcome, but really nothing substantive has changed.
Yeah. Jane, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, he certainly has shifted the emphasis away from pomp and circumstance and authority to serving the marginalized. However, yeah. he does not perceive women to be among the marginalized in the church. He simply doesn't see it. On the other hand, if the only thing he did throughout his entire papacy were the encyclical on the environment, which is called Laudato Si, that would have been enough, because Catholics worldwide were really backwards with respect to environmental issues. He published that encyclical, and virtually overnight, the entire Catholic Church went into its formal teaching mode, and parishes all over the world are suddenly being called to become aware of the environmental issues, the importance yeah. of changing our lifestyles in order to protect the earth. So I think he's absolutely wonderful in those ways. And of course, he's an absolutely lovely man.
Mm-hmm.
He's a wonderful person and lived a very simple lifestyle in his own position of authority as Archbishop, and now as Pope, to the best he can. He lives a simple lifestyle relative to what
he
could.
Yeah, he was the first Pope to come out of Latin America, and certainly his encyclical on climate change is earth-shattering and could wind up saving our planet if his words are heeded. That said, he has not come along, as you've pointed out, on the issue of women priests, maybe women deacons eventually, depending on what this panel decides. How hopeful are you that that too could change over time, that this Pope or some future one may eventually say that it's okay to have women ordained as priests? I mean, in some ways it makes a lot of sense, not only from an equality standpoint, but certainly the church has been rocked by one pedophilia scandal after another with male priests. You would think that logically maybe it might make sense to open it up to some women. But what are your thoughts on what hope do you have for the future on that?
I do have hope. I really believe that the church must change if it's going to survive. And I believe it will change. I don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime, but I do believe it will change. In the interim, I think the study that Pope Francis has proposed is a very important study, because if he brings in the scholars of the last 25 years, he's going to find that scholarship has really demonstrated that there are no barriers to women's ordination biblically, historically, and culturally.
So it was just something that was imposed by men way back in those early times.
Yes. In fact, you know, it's pretty well respected and accepted these days among Catholic scholars that there were women deacons, women priests, women bishops
really?
In the first century, particularly in the first 300 years. But like married clergy survived for a few centuries after the prohibition against married clergy in the Catholic Church, there were women who survived in leadership roles in the Catholic Church right up to and through the 9th and 10th centuries. And then there was this dramatic shift. According to scholar Gary Macy, there was a very dramatic shift in the 10th and 11th centuries, a very misogynistic shift towards the exclusion of women from any leadership roles of any kind.
Fascinating. It's like so much of history, it's written by men, and they tend to just write out the role of women. We've seen that over and over again, not just with the church, but in so many other things. I think I'd like to close today by reading a statement that the Mary Magdalene Apostle Catholic Community issued after the Pope's announcement about this panel to study whether women could be deacons or not. It noted that the Vatican typically proceeds at a glacial pace and concluded, quote, "Constant action from lay groups will determine whether the Vatican will progress at all or, absent solid action, whether they will freeze solid in the embrace of tradition. Embracing tradition will continue the second-class status of females in the Church, or will this panel be the start of something really big?" I'm going to let the two of you have the final word today. Is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know that I haven't already asked about?
One of the preeminent feminist theologians of the world, Rosemary Radford Ruther, was present at Nancy's ordination. When she was interviewed afterwards, she said, "This ordination is exactly the way ordinations were done in the second century in Rome, in the Catholic Church."
A week before my ordination in 2009, in July, the Pope at the time, Pope Benedict XVI, had issued a long statement, but in that statement, he spoke about the grave crimes of the Church, and he listed pedophilia alongside the attempted ordination of women
wow.
as equally grave a sin.
That's really shocking.
Yeah.
And to date, none of the Catholic clergy who have been found to have engaged in pedophilia have been excommunicated.
Amazing. So I have to ask, you know, given that the Church has chosen to excommunicate all women who try to become priests, why have you formed your own Catholic parish, essentially? Why didn't you just leave the Church and go find a church that was more accepting of women pastors? There's many of them out there now that would allow that.
We often get asked the question, why don't you vote with your feet and leave the Church? And one of the reasons is that a number of people who are Catholic, who are Roman Catholic, feel it in their bones. It's their DNA. It's what they were born Catholic and they're going
yeah.
to die Catholic. And it's part of who they are. We've had people come to our community who have gone to other denominations like an Episcopalian or Lutheran or another mainstream Protestant denomination. And somebody recently came to our church and said, even though I go to my Episcopalian church and I like it, there's something missing because it's not Catholic. I don't feel complete in my spiritual sacramental journey without being in a Catholic parish. So we're grateful we were there for that. That's one aspect of it.
Jane, how about you?
I think another aspect of it that's really important, and it certainly is what drives me, is that if every woman who is educated, intelligent, articulate, critical in her thinking, and able to speak out on behalf of women in the Catholic Church, if all of those people leave, who will call the Church to change? Once people leave the Catholic Church, the Vatican is free to completely ignore them. The fact that Roman Catholic women priests says, we are women priests and we are Roman Catholic, makes us a problem for the Vatican. It keeps the issue alive. It requires conversation. And who knows, perhaps some pope eventually will take action.
Very good point. Listeners, if you just tuned in, we have been speaking with Pastors Nancy Curran and Jane Villa from the Mary Magdalene Apostle Catholic Community right here in San Diego. Thank you so much for joining us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Miriam. We appreciate your interest in this subject.